If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Romans chapter 1. Imagine, if you will, you are living in the great metropolis of Rome. You are a new Christian. You've come to faith in Jesus Christ because someone loved you enough to share the gospel with you. And now you want to gather with some fellow Christians who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who are not afraid to die for their faith, just like you. And so you gather in their home to worship, to read the Psalms, to take communion. And in walks Phoebe, carrying with her a letter from the Apostle Paul. The letter is opened and read to you and to others assembled in this home. And you hear the apostle give you the customary greeting. And then you're shocked that he pronounces his faith in Jesus Christ, because you'd been told that this apostle was once a persecutor of Christians, and you're not really quite sure whether or not you can believe what he's saying is true. Is he really now a Christian? And you listen a little bit more as his letter is read, and from verse 8 through verse 15, you hear him describe his call from God to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, how he is longing to come to Rome to see you and to impart some comfort to you and to receive some encouragement from you. And then you come to this statement in his letter. In verse 16, Paul says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And you think to yourself, what does he mean? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Is it possible to be ashamed of the gospel? When Paul wrote these words, I'm sure he had his own personal experiences in mind. You see, Paul himself had been already beaten for preaching the gospel. At times during his ministry, he was stoned. He was whipped with a whip that had barbed wire and rocks on it, all because he refused to stop preaching the gospel. The Jews felt that Paul was leading people into sin, into immoral living, because if you believe that you were forgiven because of what Christ had done and not because of your faithfulness to the Jewish religion, then what would prompt you to do good? It was a stumbling block to the Jews, the gospel was. To the Greeks, it was foolishness. Foolish to them that anybody would ever believe in a carpenter, a poor man who died in weakness. How in the world could you believe in this man, the powerful Greek said. The pagans, some of whom lived in Rome, called Paul an atheist because he didn't worship many gods, he worshiped one God. And so everywhere Paul went, Corinth, Ephesus, Philippi, Asia Minor, now a desire to go to Rome, everywhere he went, he was persecuted for preaching the gospel. I think he had cause to be ashamed of it. In fact, Timothy, who made several trips with him on these missionary journeys, probably at one time was ashamed of the gospel, probably wondered why in the world he was going with Paul to preach the gospel, because everywhere they went, people persecuted them. And so Paul, when he wrote to Timothy, his second letter to encourage him, said this to young Timothy, "Be thou therefore not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Have you ever been ashamed of the gospel? You ever stayed with some friends who not only are not Christian, I mean, they never attend church, they have no understanding of Jesus Christ. I mean, the thought of being a believer in Jesus Christ has never really crossed their mind. And in fact, they may see religion or your religion as a sign of weakness. And as a result, you've been a little hesitant to say anything about Jesus Christ and what He's done for sinners. Have you ever found yourself ashamed of the gospel? Paul says, "I am not ashamed." And then he gives us the reasons why he's not ashamed. We were meeting this past Tuesday with a group of men who meet on Tuesday mornings at 7 o'clock for discipleship, and we were talking about Paul's statement, not being ashamed. And we thought to ourselves, what is he not ashamed of? Well, he's not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And someone raised the question, well, now, what is the gospel? What is it? And so we thought for a moment, where is a verse in the New Testament that easily summarizes the gospel? A summarization of that which Paul is not ashamed of. And I think Rick came up with a verse out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Turn over a couple of books and let me show you 2 Corinthians 5 verse 19. This verse gives us a summary of the gospel. This is what Paul preached, and this is what he was not ashamed of. Listen to it now. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Do you see that first phrase in 2 Corinthians 5:19? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's the gospel. God has a people in the world from every tribe, every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and He has taken their sins and placed them upon Christ. The word imputation is an accounting term. It has the idea of charging to the account of another. The gospel, the good news, is this. God's taken your sins if you're one of His. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, He's taken all of your sins. He's charged them to the account of Jesus Christ. And you are reconciled with Him. You are right with Him. You're in relationship with Him because of what He has done. You see, the gospel is not a philosophy. It's not a teaching of morality. It's not an encouragement to live a certain way. The gospel is a proclamation of facts, events that occurred in history. God, in His love for sinners, sinners that He has chosen before the foundation of the world, sinners that He has given to His Son, has taken the sins of these sinners and in love for them has placed those sins upon His Son, and the punishment due us for our sins has been poured out on the Son whom God loved. That's the gospel. And Paul was not ashamed to tell people that. You say, well, why would anybody be ashamed of that? Well, the reason that you and I sometimes are ashamed of the gospel is because the gospel is problematic. It's not that the gospel is a problem in itself. The gospel, when relayed to people, often causes problems, which leads us to shame. And that's unfortunate. Let me show you what I mean. When you tell people the facts of the gospel, when you reveal the gospel, when you proclaim the events of history, what God has done in His Son for sinners, do you know who you're describing? You're describing one, Jesus Christ, who was born in utter abject poverty in a stable. There was no room in the inn. He was brought up in a little village, trained as a carpenter. This is the one you're describing. This is the one whom you hold before the world. One who was crucified in apparent weakness. Having made exalted claims for himself, he is taken in utter helplessness. He is nailed to a tree, and he dies while the mob jeers at him and derides him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he be the Christ, the chosen of God." This is the one we proclaim. We proclaim a carpenter who lived a life of poverty and died on a cross. And of course the world scoffs and ridicules the gospel, because we assert that this same carpenter is the Savior of the world, the Son of God. To the Jews, it is a stumbling block. And to the Greeks, it is absolute foolishness. And the reason why is because to them, the gospel gives no one any room for doing anything themselves. A person, through the gospel, is stripped of self-reliance. And the world hates that. When somebody proclaims the gospel, when somebody tells a sinner what God has done for sinners, all of a sudden the sinner is struck with the unimaginable truth that God must do something for sinners, and if He hasn't done it, then nothing will or can be done. There is nothing that a sinner can do except believe what God has done. And that strikes at the heart of self-reliance. The year 2000 was the year of Jubilee for our Roman Catholic friends. And during the year of Jubilee, the Pope encourages Roman Catholics to make their way to Italy, to walk through the doors of St. Peter's Basilica. When he announced the year of Jubilee, which only rolls around every 25 years, on Christmas Eve 1999, he encouraged the saints around the world, the Roman Catholics, to go to Italy, to walk through those doors, to receive forgiveness of sins. 30 million people made the journey in 2000 AD. Because I would propose to you, it's natural for a person to want to do something to obtain a right standing with God. It's unnatural for a person to have to believe that God has done what needs to be done through His Son. Because you cannot rely upon yourself, you have to rely upon God. And that's why some people hate the gospel. And that's why some people persecute those who preach the gospel. They're stripped of self-reliance. Or it could be that when the gospel is proclaimed, it is problematic, it causes problems in the hearts of people because people stumble over the concept of a Savior. What? A Savior? What do you mean, a Savior? What do I need a Savior for? A Savior from what? I have a beautiful wife, I have good kids, a great job. You want to talk to me about needing a Savior? And you're telling me that this Savior is a poor carpenter from Nazareth who was nailed to a cross 2,000 years ago? And you're telling me that I, a modern man who has everything that I need, or if I don't have it, I can obtain it for myself, I need a Savior? No, I don't want to hear that. George Barna did a survey of evangelical churches, and he himself was shocked, his company was shocked at what they discovered. 50% of evangelicals within evangelical churches made the statement to Barna and his research team that they believe that if people were trying to be good, or at least being good to others, that they could earn their way into heaven. Barna couldn't believe that. But I think it's evident of what was true in Rome, and it's true today. People have no understanding of their need for a Savior. And do you know why? Because they can't see sin. When a person can't see his own sin, when a person can't see that there's something wrong within himself, that there's a sinful heart within him, when he can't see that his actions are contrary to his Creator, that are violations against a holy God, when there's no thought of selfishness, when there's no thought of lust, when there's no thought of what's going on within him that is contrary to the way God created him to be, when he can't see his sin, then there's no understanding of atonement, imputation. What do you mean he took my sins and put them upon his Son? Why is that good news to me? In fact, I would go further and say that the self-reliant, proud, blind sinner often becomes antagonistic toward those who preach the gospel. For the gospel says that every boy, every girl, every man, every woman, every preacher, every person that has ever lived, the Pope, Mother Teresa, is condemned because of our sins. Whether they be sins of the heart or outward sins of activity, every one of us is condemned by a holy God because of our sins. Yet the gospel says, God in His love for sinners has given His Son to die in the place of sinners and has taken their sins and put them upon His Son, and poured out His anger, due sinners, upon His Son. And everyone who believes escapes the righteous, holy wrath of God. There are people who hate that message. And Paul knew it. But he says, I'm not ashamed of it. And he says, the reason I'm not ashamed to tell people the facts. Now remember what I'm saying. The gospel is not a persuasion. It's not an attempt to try to get people to live a certain way. Will you please come to grips with that? Will you please understand that it is not a philosophy like Buddha? It is not a philosophy like Mormonism. It is not a philosophy of trying to tell people to do certain things. The gospel is the revealing of facts. And Paul says, I will never, never be ashamed to reveal those facts. For the gospel is power. Look at our text. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Let me explain a couple of things from that phrase for you. Do you see the little article, the, before power? It is not there in the original. Literally, what Paul is saying is, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is power. And the little phrase of God, that's a Hebraism. That's the way people magnified things. For instance, in the Old Testament, you will often read the mountains of God. That does not mean that God owned those mountains and no other mountains. It means that those mountains were great mountains. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is mighty power. Mighty power for what? For the deliverance of every sinner that believes. Let me show you what Paul is saying. When I come to Rome, I am not going to be ashamed to preach the gospel, to reveal the gospel, to tell the Greeks and the barbarians, both the wise and the unwise, what God has done through His Son. I will not be ashamed. I don't care if they whip me. I don't care if they beat me. I don't care if they stone me. I will proclaim the gospel. I will tell them what God has done. I will share with them the good news. Because when I do, it is great power to deliver people from their sin. Oh, there are so many things that we could talk about here. We could talk about the deliverance from the penalty of sin. We could talk about the fact that if God punishes Jesus Christ in your stead, that you will never be punished for your sin. Oh, that's glorious, glorious, glorious good news. We could talk about the fact that if God poured out His righteous anger upon Jesus Christ, then you will never receive any of His righteous anger because it's already been poured out on His Son. And He's not going to pour it out on you when He's poured it out on His Son. That's like a judge asking the criminal to pay his fine twice. That's injustice, not justice. Your fine has been paid. Oh, that's glorious good news. Listen, if you're here this morning and you have failed miserably, and you know it in your heart, when you hear the gospel that God has taken the sins of everyone who will believe and place them upon His Son, it'll set you free. Set you free from the power of the penalty of sin. And all you have to do is believe. That's it. You don't have to do a thing. You don't have to try. You don't have to strive. You don't have to earn it. You must believe. That'll set you free, but not only from the penalty of sin. Oh, when you come to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, maybe your mom taught you as you were on her knee and she shared with you the facts of the gospel. Maybe you sung those songs, those hymns as a kid and you learned what Jesus did for sinners. Oh, and you came to faith in Jesus Christ. You know what happened? God did something in you. You see, He not only did something for you, He did it in you. He gave you a new heart. In fact, He began to work within you to free you from the pollution of sin. This is called the new birth. It happens when the gospel is preached. It just happens. You preach the gospel and people begin to understand what God has done, that the gospel is not a philosophy of life. It's not a way to live. The gospel is a revelation of facts. And when people hear those facts and they begin to understand that they can do nothing, but God has done it for them, and they believe, not only will God do something for them, He does something in them. He changes their hearts. And all of a sudden, they finally live differently. And it's not because they're trying to obtain something. It's because they have already received something. That which they used to hate, now they love. They used to hate to go to church. They used to hate to worship. They used to hate to read their Bible. Now they just love it. You don't have to tell them to do it. You don't have to program them to do it. You don't have to give them some kind of chart to follow. They just do it. It's their heart. They're free to love Christ. Oh, those things they used to love, they now hate. Oh, yes, there are times when they struggle with sin as a believer. We'll come to that. Paul describes it in Romans chapter 7 and 8. Oh, but within them, there's been a change of heart. And why is that? The word power in Greek is the word dunamis. We get our word dynamite from it. When the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed by a car salesman to a friend, when the gospel of Jesus Christ is revealed by a preacher to someone who's listening to his message, when the gospel of Jesus Christ is made known by a mother to her son or daughter, when the facts of the gospel of Jesus Christ is revealed, it's like a stick of dynamite. It's plugged into the heart, and there's an explosion, and the heart softens. and deliverance comes. You want me to prove it to you? Listen to these verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you heard and received the word of God, which is the gospel, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Look at this now. The word of God effectually works in them that believe. What about this? 1 Peter 1, verse 23, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Or what about this? John 17, verse 17, sanctify them, Jesus, praise through thy truth, thy word is truth. Here it is. When the Spirit of God moves upon the heart of an individual who has heard the word of God, the gospel, dynamic power breaks out within the heart. Lives are changed. Jesus Christ invades the sinner's heart, and that man and that woman become brand new. This is why Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. But I want to show you a last thing. Not only is the gospel of Jesus Christ problematic in that it causes problems within people, the gospel of Jesus Christ is not only power and great power, the gospel of Jesus Christ is personal. In other words, young people, listen, the gospel is not what I'm doing here in the sense that the facts of what Jesus has done for sinners is proclaimed and then that's the gospel. No, the gospel has a purpose. And the purpose is the change of individual lives. Look at our text, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. And this little phrase, by faith to faith, is an interesting phrase. Some people say, well, just like in the Old Testament people were saved, so they are saved in the New Testament the same way. Some people say that some people have a little faith, some people have a lot of faith, but it's from faith to faith. The righteousness of God that comes by faith is revealed from faith to faith. It's all by faith. You are right with God by faith. And then he goes on and he says this, as it is written, the just. And do you see this word just? It is singular. It is personal. The just person shall live by faith. You know what Paul is saying? He's saying when the gospel is heard, something happens within the heart of the individual who hears it. And it is like dynamic power. It changes his life. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For in the proclamation of the facts of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is magnificent great power to the deliverance of every sinner who will believe, both to the Jew and to the Gentile, to the wise and the unwise, the Greek and the barbarian. For in the gospel, the power of God is revealed. His righteousness in the deliverance of sinners. And if you ever come to know what it means to be just by faith, you will then know what it means to live. Don't ever be ashamed of him.